Hello, everybody. Merry Christmas and welcome to the Verbal Shenanigans Christmas Spectacular. This is our third or fourth year doing it, and we had a lot of fun in this episode, but I want to tell you real quick about some of the sponsors on this podcast that we are lucky to have. One of them happens to be Wolf Nation, W-U-L-F, Wake Up, Live Free Apparel. Wolf Nation is an up-and-coming apparel company that is making clothes for men, women, children. They're just getting into the coat market, snapbacks, winter hats. So you got to go check them out. They're a great brand, and they got a lot of news up and coming for the new year. So go check them out. Wolf Nation, www.wolfnation.rocks. Again, go get some of their clothing. Go put some pre-orders in for some of their new stuff. That is Wolf Nation. Wake up, live free. It's only a dream if you are not pursuing it. We are also sponsored by Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Trivia Revolution is a trivia company that is based out of New Jersey in beer bars and breweries, and it is absolutely free to play. So come on out, even if you are a trivia nut or just a dumb person like myself, you can still win prizes. So make sure you come on out. Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. All right, Christmas episode. We talk a lot of fun Christmas topics, and we are also joined by Lauren Hardy of a reindeer farm. She works on a reindeer farm in Alaska. Very fascinating interview, a lot of fun, and just another great year of the Christmas spectacular, if you will. Guys, enjoy the podcast, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Shenanigans are cruel and tragic. Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
I'm dreaming of a podcast episode
just like the other crap we used to do.
Just like the other 226.
Except for Zap.
What? What? Well, Merry Christmas, Mike Berlew. Merry Christmas. Another year has passed. Well, not yet. Not yet. What, like 4 days, something like that? By the time this comes out. But we welcome back, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. Happy non-denominational day once again. But it is, I'm sorry, guys, it is the Christmas episode here on Verbal Shenanigans. Mike, how you doing?
Yeah, we're doing well, my friend. Got one more day of work, then I head back down to Florida to see the parents and all. Maybe take back my mantle as the great water volleyball player, as we talked about.
Oh, that's right. You're going back to the retirement community.
The legend is coming back and all. They better be ready.
You know how, like, you've been trying to get people to call you to Burl? I think you're one shot of getting, like, it would get, I feel like you have a chance at the retirement community to be really be like, oh, that's Emma's son. He goes by the Burls. He's famous in Georgia. He came from, he's a city boy.
That over 70 market, that AARP market, that's, they're all coming down with it. They're going to be wearing the Verbal Shenanigans Burls t-shirts. It's going to be amazing.
He's got a famous radio program that, oh my God, he interviews so many people. It's unbelievable that we have. You see that boy play volleyball? Man, I think his name's
Scott,
like
we're just not going to stay there. I'm going to go to all the KOAs of Florida. I'm talking Jacksonville, Miami, Tampa. We're spreading, man. We're going to do it.
You know, sometimes you just got to find that market. It's not really about, like, going for the general market, and especially nowadays. You don't need – every TV show has its own audience. You could you YouTube channel. Maybe yours is, like, retirement communities. Maybe this is the key.
Yeah, I feel we should change up our topics every week to help out our new market and all. Like, I feel we should have a monthly Murder, She Wrote podcast, you know? Just talk about different episodes of Murder, She Wrote.
Well, honestly, if we do that Amish romance book, we might be turning that way anyway.
Yeah, so. We got that. We'll have to do an hour on why things aren't like they used to be.
Today on the show, guys, we have not only the founder, but the creator of the Depends diaper. Unbelievable guest today.
Yeah. So tell us, what was it like that first time? And all? Was the pilot as good as you thought, or you had to keep working on it?
Do you like pineapple on pizza?
I like it a lot when I have my dentures around and all. It goes down smoothly, you know. It's like cream corn.
But anyway, guys, welcome back to the show. If this is your first episode tuning in, this is Verbal Shenanigans. That's Mike. I'm Scott, and we are a weekly show that tends to bring on pretty interesting guests, especially like last week we had Chris Barron from the Spin Doctors on. Which was one of my favorites of the year. Will it make favorite of the year? Tune in next week. But we do like to do a little year in review kind of thing. But today's focused on Christmas. You got the Christmas spirit, bro. This is your first Christmas in a new state.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty good. The feeling now. I got a house. The woman has had it decorated up for about 3 months now. So you know. It's not the, it's coming. It's like, any day now.
So, will you be upset when you take down your decorations in June?
Not me. The wife will try everything humanly possible to figure out a way to say, no, this works for 4th of July.
You live in, Neverland, right? That's where Peter Pan lived? Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's where he came from.
I've been singing nonstop. I don't know why, but I've been singing trying to sing Bing Crosby like the last day. Just like,
okay,
you don't really hear that anymore. You don't really hear that. You don't hear anybody really trying to get that deep inflection going. I just wonder if that's what like turned on like women back then. So let's face it, no guy's making Christmas albums and singing White Christmas to just impress the general public. He's obviously going for chicks back then.
It could be, you know. I think that dude who did Frosty the Snowman probably had the same thinking about Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul.
Yeah, that guy had a weird thing going too. But Bing Crosby is like, I think it's still like the number one Christmas album of all time or something like that, White Christmas.
I think it's Band Aid with Do They Know It's Christmas After All.
That song sucks.
I like it.
It's all right. That goes on for like 20 minutes at the end. And if you see the video, everyone's got like mullets and they're just like all like only a couple guys are actually into it. And like Freddie Mercury's like trying to get into the mic. But
I'm trying to remember, was that the first one or was it the other one? What's the other one I'm thinking about with all the different
Heal the World?
Yeah.
What's
the one Cyndi Lauper in it? No, that is We Are the World. Okay, yeah.
I want to say the Live Aid one came first, but I'm not going to also pretend I know history. But
be great if the two had beeps, you know, like groups of celebrity singers are just staring each other down, man. Screw you, man. We are the world. You don't mess with us.
Now, do you think a Christmas song, like the Christmas like classics, like a new classic will ever be made again? Or will it just be the constant, you know, reformatting and redoing and someone else singing? Like, do you think a new classic will come along where, like, you're old and you're like, oh, man, like, you got to put this on, and then like your kids and your kids' kids play that song, like Bing Crosby's White Christmas, right? That always comes on. It's on every single Christmas playlist ever. Do you think a new one will ever come along?
I would say yes. How often we get it would be pretty rare. I mean, you can make the argument like the Mariah Carey one would be like the latest classic.
What's funny, if we say latest, that had to come out what, like 94, maybe?
Probably.
Like,
yeah. I'm trying to think.
Look it up while you think.
What's the one where the girl's like, oh, you forgot Cranberry too? You know that one?
No.
Merry Christmas, but I think I'll skip this one this year. Something like that.
Bah, bah, bah.
I think one? That's like 90s.
Oh, God, that song is so bad. Yeah, 94, I mean, look at that. Way to go, I mean, Brennan.
Those are technically recent, but yeah, they're still ancient. I can't think of anything in 2000s off the top of my head. Yeah. I mean,
all right, Merry Christmas by Mariah Carey, you know, is a classic. You know, All I Want for Christmas Is You is in the play. You know, it is in the cycle of every play. It's been redone. People do it all the time. So I think that might have been a cutoff, man. I can't think of a song that everybody knows that still finds its way into. I judge it by, like, okay, you're at a holiday party or you put on Christmas Spotify playlist. What's coming on? You know, it's always going to be Mariah Carey. It's Bing Crosby. It's the Beach Boys. I don't know, man. I can't. And if you do think there's another one, who do you think, like, now could put out one that would really know?
Maybe Mandy Moore. Maybe
Mandy Moore.
I mean, she's pretty popular, right? She's got a good voice.
She does.
Got This Is Us.
She's beautiful.
She does the voice of the sister in Frozen, so those two could do.
All right.
I guess you could debate the
I see
like
where you're
songs from
that.
Frozen could get into that list.
I see where you're going with that. Maybe Ed Sheeran can knock one out. I could see him. I could see him knocking one out. Did you see? I hope you saw. Did you see Little John? The rapper put out a Christmas song with the Kool-Aid Man.
I saw some headline where it said Kool-Aid Man, but the TV was muted. Where I was just looking at, like, did somebody buy Kool-Aid? Is there a new campaign going out there? But
no,
I did not hear the song.
It is literally what I just said, and it is as amazing as what I just said. It's Little John being like, what I really want, what I want for Christmas, what? And the hype man is literally like the Kool-Aid Man. In the video, he's like, oh, no, not the Kool-Aid. And he busts through the door, and he's like the hype man with Little John. It's unbelievably amazing. Like, it's exactly everything that is right with the world.
Like,
an artist like Little John that doesn't take himself too seriously, because obviously he's the yeah and what guy, and he's doing something with the Kool-Aid Man. It's fantastic.
It sounds like what you just said is like an answer to something from Cards Against Humanity.
Little John
it's
and
like,
the Kool-Aid
I'm
Man.
I'm going to be doing a Christmas song with the Kool-Aid Man, a big black dick, Hitler.
Little John and the Kool-Aid Man. Well, you know, it used to be Little John and the East Side Boys. Now, you know, maybe he's just bringing the Kool-Aid Man in. So,
now, is that literally his stage name, Kool-Aid Man?
It says, Little John and Kool-Aid Man team up to save the holidays with All I Really Want for Christmas. Okay. And I got to admit, I think he's onto something, you know? I mean, what better hype man than the Kool-Aid Man? Like, you don't want some guy that looks just like you. When you have the Kool-Aid Man next to you, a recognizable figure. Let me see if I could. Oh, here we go. Here, I'll hold it next to the mic for a second.
All right.
Because I don't have it hooked up to play through.
All right, starting off classic.
Yep.
Here comes the beat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we don't got to go through it. Maybe I'll pop it in afterwards. But unbelievable. Kool-Aid Man busts through right away. Little John. Now, Mike, I know you can't see, but the Kool-Aid Man is basically behind him, just dancing with like garland around his neck, like Mason P. Diddy.
Okay, so that's literally somebody dressed up in the Kool-Aid Man outfit?
Yeah, like the giant Kool-Aid from when we were kids. Like, and they're like, Santa's DJing in the back. Little John is pouring eggnog out. It's fantastic. It's everything that's right. Like, that is what we need more of. Little John and the Kool-Aid Man.
So maybe that's our niche. Maybe we make Christmas songs with old food mascots.
So like the Hawaiian Punch guy and Snoop Dogg.
Hawaiian Punch. Yeah. Like, maybe something like Eminem and the Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Toucan Sam and Dr. Dre.
Yeah. the Fat Boys and the Noid from the old Domino's commercials.
Oh, my God, the Noid. Jesus. I completely forgot that existed, thankfully.
This is our call.
I have a white elephant to go to in, you know, and I think New Year's Eve we're doing it. You know, you get a gift. I think I found my gift that I'm going to get. And then usually we go for funny. Brother, what would you do if I gave you a pillow? And you know those pillow with, like, you see them now, like, with the sequins where you rub them and, like, they might have a message underneath or a different color.
I haven't heard of those before.
Well, anyway, so it's a red pillow. And then if you rub the sequins and, like, you know, underneath is a picture of Nicolas Cage's face.
Oh. Kind of like one of them body pillows that's really popular in Japan, huh?
Well, I think, one, it made me laugh just looking at it, so I know that it's funny. I could also get Carlton Banks from Fresh Prince. I don't know. I find Nicolas Cage to be a little bit funnier than Carlton Banks. I don't know. Because it's so outlandish.
Yeah, Carlton's more topical now that he's suing Fortnite for them using his dance.
Right.
As well as the kid who apparently did the floss dance. Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum I can get? I don't know. I don't want Jeff Goldblum.
It depends.
I mean, Nick Cage? Oh, Vladimir Putin I can get.
That's played out.
Trump, Trump, that's not funny anymore.
Nah.
Pretty much. Now, the one I can get to is the Con Air version of Nick Cage with the long hair and the eyes closed. There's actually several Nick Cage. I can get Nick Cage as a lemon.
Okay.
I can get Putin, Nick Cage as the Mona Lisa, Nick Cage in a banana. Someone really went on. Now, I probably have to order it because I imagine it's going to be a hot Christmas item.
I mean, can you just get any Nick Cage you ask for? Can I get Ghost Rider Nick Cage out of curiosity?
I don't know. I don't find Ghost Rider Nick Cage that funny, though. I don't know. I mean, I guess you could. You could probably ask for it. It's on Etsy, so they you can always, like, kind of ask them to do some. Here, I'll send you the link so you can see what I'm looking at here.
How about, like, Wicker Man Nick Cage?
But then you couldn't see him. Wait, was he in Wicker Man? I thought
Kevin Bacon was Wicker. That's the famous one where the cutscene is, he's like, no, not the bees! Not the bees! Yeah.
What's the one that I was just thinking about with Kevin Bacon as the invisible guy? What the hell was the name of that? Oh, yeah, that was brutal. Oh.
Yeah. he went just straight to rape in that movie. They didn't play around. It's not like, oh, I'm gonna do some naughty stuff. It's just like, nope, gonna molest you.
Straight to rape, huh? Very aggressive.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess he had the chops to go for it. What can I tell you?
Here, take a look at that guy. I just sent you.
All right.
So if I got you that present, right, and you put that pillow out among, like, Izzy's decorations, it was just red, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you do a little magic hand swipe, and Nick Cage's face pops up.
I'm digging Nicolas Cage ocean pillow. That's my bet.
Ocean pillow? I don't know if I see that one.
Scroll down. It's a second row middle.
Oh, yeah. I like that, too. That's pretty good. That's Nick Cage ocean pillow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dog dabbing. That's just silly.
His shirt open, you know. I kind of like Con Air Nick Cage. That's the one I'm leaning towards right now. But, you know, never mind that. Berlo, you like reindeer? What's your favorite reindeer?
Sure.
What's your favorite one?
I guess Blitzen. He's always last in order, but first in my heart.
He's last? There's an order?
Yeah. Oh, like, in the song.
Oh, is that the order
that
lined up in?
He's the last one in the song.
Oh.
Donner, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen.
So is that the order they're lined up in, or is he just shouting random names?
It'd be odd if he's just jumping around the order, Santa. I mean, that's not really good leadership.
What if he was going in reverse, though, like from what he can see, and then Blitzen was all the way in the front?
Well, he would not be first because, you know, that'd be Rudolph at the front. You know, the ham and egger, the one that everybody loves and all, just because he did one good night.
Yeah, I don't,
you know, like Nick Foles.
I don't love him.
Something like that.
Well, I think it's time to get one of our Christmas guests on the line here. Every year we try to seek out someone Christmas related, someone unique. I guess some of the past year's ones. Last year we had the guys from Tree Men. It was a documentary. Mm-hmm. We had someone else last year too, right? Tree
Santa.
Men. Oh,
Santa himself.
Duh. How can I forget? The big man himself. Oh my God! My dog is eating a box. We got him a
box. No, there's a Nick Cage pillow in there. Don't.
We get him a bark box like every year, and like he thinks that every box now is his, and that every box contains toys and treats. And Obi, knock it off. You know, we try to get the Christmas spirit flowing here on the show yearly. You know, last year, I mean, what better to get the spirit flowing last year was we had Santa himself on the podcast. So
basically this year's going to be a letdown, is what you're telling
me. No. Now, when you have Santa, you don't want to bother him every year. Busy guy, doing things, you know. But, you know, what is Santa very closely associated with?
A red suit.
We're not calling a red suit. So, what else?
Man,
what else?
I lined up this red suit maker, and it's the greatest. He's out of Albany. I mean, he does all kinds of red suits, like maroon, red.
If we keep doing this for the next, like, 5 years, man, guys, we ran out of Christmas ideas. he's a red suit maker.
Yeah. This guy celebrated Christmas 3 years in a row, Scott.
But, so, Mike, you associate Santa often with reindeer, okay?
It makes sense.
Yes, you know, Rudolph being number one, but, you know, all the other reindeer that used to laugh and call him names, right? You associate them, Donner and Blitzen and all those other guys, and like Dasher, Dancer, Comet and Cupid. Yeah. Who's your personal favorite?
I guess Blitzen. Don't know why. It's like, well, why you leave him out at the end? And then after you leave him at the end, then you just go into how great Rudolph is, you know?
Yeah.
So he gets the bum end of the stick.
He's kind of got like a little like football name too, Blitzen, you know, like so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. So we're going to call a woman by the name of Lauren Hardy. And I believe we'll get the whole story in just a minute. But I believe her parents own a ranch called Hardy's Reindeer Ranch. Which is in Illinois, but I believe we are calling Alaska right now. We'll get the whole lowdown here. You like you said before we went on air. I said I don't think we've ever done Alaska before. We've done plenty of Canada.
We've done Hawaii.
We've done Europe. But I don't know if we've done Alaska. So without further ado, let's give Lauren Hardy a call.
Hello, this is Lauren White.
Hi, is this Lauren?
Yes.
Hey, it's Scott from Verbal Shenanigans. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good. Let me just merge Mike in real quick. Hold on. Lauren, this is Mike. You should hear him on the other side.
Hi.
Hello, Lauren.
Hi.
So, Lauren, first off, thank you for giving us a few minutes here, which I assume must be, I would guess it's one of the busier seasons if you're talking a reindeer farm as December comes. We tend to do a Christmas episode every year. Last year we had Santa on the podcast. So,
awesome.
he has a Santa school and you know, all sorts of things. But, you know, we thought it'd be fun to reach out to someone who works in the business of reindeer. So, are we
very cool?
Now, are we calling you in Alaska right now?
Yes, I'm in Palmer, Alaska. I'm actually at the farm right now.
Okay. So, first off, you mentioned in an email that your parents own this reindeer farm?
Yes.
So, where first off, I mean, I don't really know too much, and I'm sure a lot of other people don't. What is the goal of a reindeer farm? Like, what product do you get? Is it just the joy of seeing reindeer, or is there a lot more to it?
Well, mostly, so this farm has been in my family for a long time. We've had reindeer for 30 years now. And when we first got the reindeer, my grandpa's plan was to raise them for meat. But people just kept coming to see them.
Right.
And he and my mom and her sisters were like, you can't eat them. They're so nice. And so we ended up, we keep them now. We have over 100 on our farm.
Wow.
And mostly what we do is tourism. So in the summertime, people can come visit us. And right now we're busy taking the reindeer other places and we'll pull the sleigh for Santa. And we also do live animal sales. But we don't really sell them for meat. Mostly what we do is we keep them and train them and use them for tourism and as pets for people.
So if there's any turkeys listening right now, the key is just to be cute and nice and they won't they won't turn into meat come some holidays.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I worked for reindeer, so.
So out of curiosity, how did your parents come across reindeer at the beginning? Did they capture them in the wild? Is it just a natural thing where you buy them from other people? How's that start?
Yeah, I think my grandpa got our original herd. They originally came from Canada, but I think he did buy them from some reindeer herders over there. And we started with 20, and then I think he went back the next year and got some more. But yeah, I think he got them originally from a reindeer herder in Canada.
Now, was this something he did on the side, or is he just like one day all in, I'm going reindeer business?
Oh, no. My grandpa was a full-time lawyer, a full-time hay farmer, and then a full-time reindeer farmer. So he was a really busy guy.
I feel like that's a common thing in Alaska. You got to have like multiple things. Now, did you grow up completely in Alaska, or are you guys in between locations, or...
When my mom married my dad, because it's her dad that owns the farm, they moved down to Washington, so all of us kids were born down there, and then we moved back up to Alaska 8 years ago, so it's been 8 years that my parents and my brothers and I have all been working on the farm.
Now, is this like what we see like in the Rust Belt, if you will? Is it something where it's like you got to get up at 6 a.m., you got to feed them, you're going to be busy working with them all day, or is there any kind of relaxation when you're working on a reindeer farm?
It's pretty busy. It's pretty much like that. We don't always get up at 6 a.m. because, at least in the winter, it's going to be dark for a good part of the day here, and so we feed them just when the sun's up, but we do. We spend a lot of our days working with the animals. That's basically my mom's full-time job is running the farm right now. My dad does work another job. And then I help her whenever I can. I'm home with my daughter. I have an 18-month-old. So it's our family thing. And her sisters will help out when they can too, you know. But mostly it's an all-day thing. We have staff that we've hired to feed the animals and help us take care of them all year. So
Okay. Let's talk about care for a reindeer. Like, what goes into taking care of a reindeer? What kind of diet are we talking about? Is it grain? Is it carrots? Do they stay in a corral? Do they stay in a stable? Like, give us, because obviously we have no idea what we're talking about here. Yeah. So,
well, we're lucky enough. We have a lot of land. And so we have big pastures for our deer where they're out on grass. Some people aren't that lucky, so they keep them in a smaller area, but they really, really love grass. So we like that we have big pastures for them. They also eat reindeer pellets, like reindeer grain. It's a special formula just for them. And right now we have them on free choice, which means they can just eat as much as they want. And it's like in a big dispenser, kind of like the kind you would put your cat food in, where they eat right. It at the bottom and then more comes up. So they can eat as much grain as they want. But in the wintertime, they really cut back how much they eat, because in the wild, they wouldn't have as much to eat. So even though they can eat as much as they want, they still eat less in the winter. And they really love, like in the summertime, they love grass and leaves, and dandelions are one of their favorites, and fireweed, and any like willows or browse that we bring to them, they'll eat it right up. So they like everything green and leafy pretty much. They don't have teeth on the top and the front, so they actually most of the time won't eat carrots or apples or anything like that. But yeah, they really like leafy stuff. Dandelions is one of their favorites for sure.
Now, since they are wild animals, is there a lot of training involved, or when they're in a herd, do they kind of get the gist of, okay, I'm on a farm, kind of relax my natural wild tendencies?
Yeah, so these are reindeer, so they're actually domesticated, where like a caribou is like a wild reindeer, basically. So these guys are born here on the farm, and they eat grain right away. Our first reindeer we got, we had to introduce them to grain because they'd never had it before. But these guys, they're all domesticated. They've all been born and raised here. So they kind of get that as far as eating grain and stuff. But as far as like handling them, because we are like a tourist attraction where people can come visit us a lot, the reindeer, our reindeer are really well socialized. And we, when the babies get weaned from their moms, they go in the tourist pen so that they can get exposed to as many different people as possible, so that they are like really calm and tame by the time they're adults. It's basically our goal is to have all really friendly reindeer eventually. But when I say that they're not friendly, it's not like they're aggressive. They just, when you try and feed them or pet them, they just walk away, and that's not as much fun when you're trying to take pictures with them. So,
Mike, you would lose your mind here.
This one, I mean, which one is like, I don't like you, reindeer.
Oh, which one's the worst one?
Yeah.
There's one, so this reindeer, her mom's name is Peanut, so we named her Hazelnut, and sometimes we call her Hazel Butt because yeah, she's a butthead.
Mike, I would love to see footage of you at this reindeer farm just trying to pet all of them at once, and as they continuously walk away from you, the disappointment on your face.
Well, Scott, what we'll say is I'm looking on their site right now. There's apparently reindeer rental in the state of Georgia is listed on here.
Wow.
So we could be making this happen, Scott.
How about Jersey? Can I ship one this way?
I didn't see New Jersey on there. I saw New York. Oh, wait. There you are. New Jersey's there.
Well, let's talk about that. So people come, obviously, to the farm just to see the reindeer, but what other kinds of things can they do with this? It looks like it's a multifaceted business.
Yeah, so what we're doing right now, because it's Christmas time, is we have we're going to be open for Christmas on the farm, the 23rd and 24th here. And we do, like, we have a tractor-pulled wagon ride, and we set up a light show where the lights coordinated the music. We have Santa here. We have a snowball fight indoors where it's like black lights and music blaring and the snowballs glow in the black light, but they're actually like little fluffy balls. And,
nice.
Different games and things set up. So we try to make it like more of an experience than just coming and looking at reindeer, because that's what it used to be. But now people want more, you know, so we're adding more things to it. Something else we're doing this year that we haven't done as much in the past is these Santa tours, where Santa comes and surprises us while we're in the middle of a tour. And so then we get to go into his little workshop area and decorate cookies and tell him what we want for Christmas, in addition to seeing the reindeer. We also have other animals here. We have a bison and a yak and a moose and Rocky Mountain elk.
Nice.
Wow.
And horses. So, yeah, we – and three dogs and a cat. So we have lots of animals here.
Now, are there any weird traits of a reindeer that, like, we wouldn't naturally know about them, that it's, like, off the wall, or how they react or anything like that to people?
They fly, duh.
Yeah. They fly. they really do, like, they're really safe animals. Like I said, they don't have teeth on top of the front, so they can't bite you. And they have a tendon in the back of their back leg that makes it so they cannot kick backwards and sideways like a horse, which sometimes surprises people. So they're really safe animals, and they don't usually tend to use antlers on people. If you grab them by the antler and they think you're like playing with them or wrestling with them, then you might get poked. But as long as you don't touch their antlers, they're fine, and they prefer to be pet on their back. Something else that might surprise people is that they're not built to be ridden. They're built for pulling a sled.
Mike, take notes, Mike.
Sounds like a challenge to me, Scott. But yeah.
And sometimes if you go and like sit on them, or if you put even a little kid on their back, they just lay down, because when they're babies, their moms will put pressure on their back to tell them they're doing something bad. So they think they're in trouble, and then they just lay down. Huh. So it's really hard to ride a reindeer.
Now, how many did you say you had on the farm again right now?
We have over 100, probably about 115-ish
now,
right now.
Now, you name all of these?
All the friendly ones have names, for sure.
The no-name, the no-name gang in the other corral.
They all have an ear tag number, so if they don't have a name, we'll just call them by their tag number, like 857 or whatever.
Like an inmate.
But, yeah. And, oh, I don't remember what I was going
to
say.
Well, I was saying it's got to be hard to remember all these things' names, like, and keep coming up with new ones. Like, after a while, you're just call that one gas tank. I don't know. Like, I'm out of ideas here.
We had 40 babies born this spring, wow. And we're probably going to have close to that again next year. So each year, sometimes we pick a theme. Like, one year, we named them all after candy bars. So we had a Snickers and an Almond Joy and a Hershey Kiss. And, so picking a theme sometimes will help. We have one year we did like Disney princesses. So we have a couple princess themed awesome. Ones. But yeah.
That's great.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So is there any restrictions on how many deer you can have with the farm? Do you have to like sell them off or anything like that?
As far as like a number of deer, I don't think so. But like I said, we're really lucky to have a lot of property. We have 80 acres. Basically that is divided up into pastures for the reindeer. So whenever we feel like it's getting too crowded, then we might cut back. But we always have a waiting list of people who want to buy reindeer from us. Hmm. So if we needed to get rid of them, it's really easy to find different homes for them. At one point, my grandpa really wanted, his goal was to have like 300 reindeer all at the same time. But then it feels like it's getting pretty crowded here. Like the pens don't feel as big. So we're happy with 100 is a pretty good number for us right now.
So now this time of year, do you get like a what's the average day? Like, is it just people, do they sign up for these things, or is it just like they show up and observe? Is it like a trail ride with horses, like where you have to make reservations? Like, what does the everyday business kind of look like?
So in the summertime, we're open 10 to 6 every day from May 1st to the middle of September, and people can just show up whenever they want. But we right now, because it's so cold outside and we're really busy, we can't spend all day sitting outside greeting people. So we are open by appointment, and we have it on our website where people can go and see exactly what time we're open and how many slots are left at that time.
Gotcha.
They can pay right there online, and then they can come and we'll do the tour. So that's been like a lifesaver, because in the past, the only way we could tell people we're open is put the open sign on the side of the road and see if they come, you know?
Yeah. Now, I gotta ask, like, I was looking up reindeer farms, and you had emailed me, and your last name had said Hardy, and there's a Hardy reindeer farm in the middle of Illinois. Is there any relation, or is that just complete coincidence?
No, we're not actually related to them. My mom went and visited them recently, and they bought their reindeer from my grandpa originally when they got their first reindeer.
Wow.
but as far as, like, familial relation, there isn't one.
that's pretty random. Like, there's not too many reindeer farms out there, and then
right.
You both have the same last name. But well, so I guess just a couple more things here. If like, what happens if like if you guys go through like storms or extreme cold or whatnot? Does the business still stay open? Do the reindeer herd together? Or are they just kind of, since they're so adjusted to it, they just like hang out?
So as far as like extreme cold, the reindeer don't know what that means.
Right.
They love it cold.
Yeah.
Like, we're freezing, but they love it cold. I don't know if you heard, but like last week or week and a half ago, we had a really bad earthquake up
right.
here.
Yep.
And so the next day, we're still open. Like, nothing had broken out here. Our shelters were all standing. The reindeer didn't seem bothered by the earthquake at all. The only downside was that the roads got messed up, so not everybody could make it here. But as far as extreme weather, sometimes we will close for ice, because if our parking lot and our pen or nothing but glare ice, it makes it really hard to get around for people and animals. And in the summertime, we've closed if it's, well, I don't think we've even closed if it's really, really rainy. But yeah, most of the time we're just open. A lot of people, at least Alaskans, know to dress for it.
Right.
They're like, if it's going to be cold, it's going to be cold. We can't wait till the weather gets better. So.
What about vet care? I mean, how many vets do you have to look after these things? And if they ever had to have, like, anything major, like a surgery or anything?
So we are really lucky. We have a really awesome vet. So one vet lives in Palmer near us, and she has a small animal clinic. So if we need something from her, we can either bring the reindeer into her clinic or she can come out to us. And then she works sometimes with another vet who's a mobile vet. So she has all of her tools and everything she needs in her truck and will come and visit us. And then I don't know if you guys have heard of Dr. Oakley Yukon Vet. She has a reality show.
I can't keep up with the Alaskan reality shows. I feel like there's a new one every day. I feel like you guys probably have one that you're not even telling us about.
We don't yet, but my mom is like, I have no desire. We filmed so many of them. Like, I did not want to even go there.
Yeah.
So she comes and visits us. Visits us at least once a year, sometimes like three times a year. So we have a nice team of vets, and they all talk to each other, which is really cool, and work together to figure out how to keep our animals healthy. And my mom and I aren't shy about, you know, if there's shots that need to be given or treatments, we can do a lot of that ourselves under the direction of the vet. You know, they tell us what to give them, and then we'll do it. But the vet will come, like you said, if we have something really bad. We had one recently that got an eye injury, and his eye started swelling and kind of popping out of his eye, and that was really scary. But with the help of the vets, we were able to save his eye, and they think he even didn't go blind. They think he still has vision in it, which is really cool. So
he's the red-eyed reindeer.
Yeah.
Lauren, this has been really fun. I really enjoyed talking to you. We love having these kind of guests on the show. You know, we've been lucky enough to interview a couple big names here and there, but I feel like sometimes we love this kind of stuff more because it's just really so fascinating. I hope you realize you have a fascinating career. What you guys do is really interesting. If people want to go check this out, if they're one coming for Christmas, or it sounds like you guys are open all the time, well, where's the website? Where should they go? And where can they go and check you guys out?
So we're on, our website is reindeerfarm.com, and we also are on Facebook as Williams Reindeer Farm, because that was my grandpa Tom's last name was Williams.
Okay.
And so if you follow us on Facebook, we're really active about posting where we are each weekend when we're doing these shows, and when the babies are born in the spring, we post a picture of all the babies too, and then we have an Instagram, and that's Reindeer Farm AK on Instagram. But yeah, our website's a really good resource to check. And like I said, it's got like a calendar on there, and you can see exactly when we're open and how many spots are left and when we'll be open. Even I think we don't have next summer set up yet, but we're getting there.
That's awesome. And go ahead, Mike.
Just one last question. I mean, I can tell you really love these animals and everything, but was there ever like a moment where like a reindeer like stole your sandwich or something and you just got upset with them, like, Mom, Twinkles again?
Well, there was one that totally hated me. I don't know why, but her name was Terry, and every time I would go near the reindeer pen, she would pin me with her antlers against the wall, like attack me. And so I constantly had bruises on my legs. So one day, Terry escaped the reindeer pen somehow and got wrapped up in all of our Christmas lights in the yard and had Christmas lights dangling all over her antlers, all over her feet. She's completely caught in it.
Someone probably thought that was an attraction, like a Christmas decorator.
Yeah. So then we had to catch the really aggressive reindeer that hated my guts to untangle her from that mess. So that was a pretty crazy day.
Thank you so much for giving us some time, and have a Merry Christmas. And it sounds like you guys have a really cool thing going that I would love to visit. Unfortunately, you are very far away at the moment. Next time I'm in Alaska, I'll have to come by.
All right, that sounds great. Thank you so much, guys.
Hey, thank you.
We appreciate it.
I could totally see you like roaming around trying to, like, she doesn't get it, but me and you get what I'm saying here. Like, you trying to become best friends with all the reindeer.
Reindeer, yeah.
Like, pushing kids out of the way. And
oh, okay. Sam's reindeer is my reindeer. His name's Terry.
I named him after Terry Tate, my favorite guest ever.
What was the name of our eagle from
Danny Glover, the Verbal Shenanigans Glover, bird.
Yeah. This is Danny Glover. This is Terry the reindeer. This is Jarrett, my best milking snake.
That's the first thing I thought about was when we were talking to her was the Sky Falconry episode. It really reminded me of it. Very, very cool. I enjoyed it a lot.
Knowing me, I'd figure I'd find reindeer and they were other deer and they just bludgeon me to death with their antlers.
Ooh, it's just like an elk that just mauls you to death.
Oh, Scott, this reindeer, he's not coming up to par like the others.
I can picture like we go to podcast and we go to video chat and your face is all beat down. I'm like, what happened? Well, you see, apparently Pumpkin wasn't the reindeer I thought he was.
Pumpkin Spice Whatever was not that fun this month.
Well, yeah, that was cool. So that put me in the Christmas spirit a little bit. I really liked that.
Would you, if you were in Alaska, would one of your stops definitely be the reindeer farm?
Considering I'm not sure how many other stops there are in Alaska, I guess I'd head up there.
Dude, Alaska's pretty awesome. There's a lot to do in Alaska. There is.
Yeah?
Yeah. I loved it. In fact, I wish that, like when I went on a cruise. Next, I wish I had just had a car and just go explore, because it's crazy out there. There's so much. It's so big.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's the biggest state or something.
Yeah. Did Sarah Palin wave to you from her back porch?
No. She doesn't like me.
Ah, I mean, you two still got that beef, huh?
Still beefing after all these years.
The Brennan Palin beef is just historic, and all. It's going to be legendary, the like Hatfields and McCoys.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it ends one day soon when the bloodshed stops.
Did you grow up?
Yes, I did.
That's definitely not true. Did you grow up with any sort of religion towards Christmas? Because let's face it, religion, Christmas is definitely just an American holiday at this point. I guarantee 99% of the people who celebrate it and get all into it and love it do not think about Jesus, maybe at all. Okay. So did you have like a religious component to your Christmases growing up?
I had a couple in my teenage years. Like, I got baptized around 15 years old, so we...
In the river?
We used to... No. We went to, like, a Presbyterian church, which was basically in the area. Literally, the religion we chose was, it's close enough to us.
Right.
Point blank, so... We went there for like a couple of years, and there was, I'd say, about three or four of them. We went to the midnight mass for Christmas. You know, it's a nice feeling, lighting up candles, singing hymns, and, you know, get into the spirit wise of the holiday.
Right,
but I can't say, like, growing up, it's like, hey, Mike, you know why we're doing this kind of deals? It was.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about this today. Like, you know, I grew up, my mother was the religious one of the family, and dad kind of, you know, just went along with whatever she said.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we did the whole CCD and grew up Catholic, whatever. And, you know, I knew early on that it wasn't for me. I remember being just bored all through, probably from like fourth grade on, hating it. My mom would get mad. It would cause fights. Like, I don't want to go. You're going. Yes, you are. You know, like, and she always wanted us to go. And even to this day, she always wants us to go together as a family on Christmas. And it's like, I get it. It's kind of nice. But I remember like the experience of being, you know, we always went on Christmas Eve. That's when we always went. We never really went Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember the experience being very like, you can never wait to get out of church
just to go. Like, we always went to my aunt's house, and that's when the real festivities began, when Christmas, like, started. And I just remember always being, like, trying to get in the moment of Christmas. Like, trying to be, like, you know, okay, maybe if I... Maybe if I stare at the crucifix a little bit, I'll knock some, like, religion loose in me. Like,
so you look at the cross as, like, a magic eye.
Right.
You just, like, squint a little bit. It's like, oh, yeah, God.
Right. Like, you ever, like, I know you're not super religious. You ever, like, try really hard to be like, all right, come on. Like, I know I can, I can knock some religion into me here if I, you know, try to get into this song and deeply, you know, almost talk to the talk to the wall, like talk to the crucifix there, like, all right, God, like if you show me that you're real here, I will come every, like, these are the thoughts that I remember having, like, all right, fine, like I'll come every week if you just show me something. Show me, make the wall move when I'm looking at it, make a picture turn, you know, like,
so God's a magician in your mind,
right?
If the priest came up to you and just be like, oh, Scott, what's that in your ear? Is it a coin?
Right.
God, it's real.
Well, how is that different than them just tricking people for centuries and centuries, just coming up with these things, you know? Like, it's not that much different. But, like, yeah, kind of like a magician. Like, okay, if I look, like, I remember, like, thinking, like, like, looking at the crucifix and him being on the crucifix, like, maybe he'll wink at me.
Man.
Maybe.
So, like, all these billions of people that Jesus Christ can come back for.
Right.
You are selecting yourself just on the basis of, well, that'd be cool, and maybe I'll show up again if you do it.
Yeah, like, okay. Like, you know, like, Jesus was like the ultimate Santa, right? Like he sees you all the time. Like he knows what you're doing wrong. He you know.
I thought that was his dad's job. I thought he was just like the next coming.
Yeah, but I thought he was all three in one: the body, the cry. Like people, you pray to Jesus, he can see. I thought he was God.
No, I mean, I think we're supposed to wait for him to come back, and then he'll take over the job. I think.
Really. I thought it was the Holy Trinity. I thought the Holy Spirit, him, and God were, like, all together. Like,
but still, he's, like, the offspring of God, like, so he's not God.
Like a Christian Voltron. Like, the three of them come together and form, like, one thing. But, yeah, I remember focusing very deep, like, trying to knock some religion loose in me. Like, okay, come on. like maybe, you know, like, on TV where you see these moments where they're like, oh, like, the bright lights come, and like the, maybe I get like kind of like tunnel vision a little bit, and I have this moment of clarity. But this moment of clarity never came to me, or maybe it will one day. Who knows? I mean, maybe one day I come on here and I'm like, praise the Lord, and we just start doing like a religious kind of podcast. But yeah, as of now, he's still, you know, I'm 34 years into this journey. No, he hasn't really. I haven't seen a miracle. Have you seen a miracle?
Trying to think, no.
Well, this is my point. I not too many people come up to me and say, hey, you know, they want to hear the story of my miracle.
Oh my, I hope, like, Jehovah's Witnesses are listening to the podcast and they're all going to just show up to your doorstep and like, Scott, I got a story for you.
And I'll be
sit
like,
down. This is going to take 6 hours.
And I'll be like, come to Tap House 15 and we can talk. Yeah.
And these religious people don't like Jackie Byrne. This is not a good show.
Why do they not like my puberty joke?
yeah. Why did you bring Jim Norton to this show of all ones? Damn it. They are not pleased.
And I just remember, like, you know, in the Catholic Church, they always had, like, the Stations of the Cross on the wall, like, all these things that Jesus went through when he was being executed. I remember, like, looking at them and trying to feel something. You know, like that episode Always Sunny where Dennis, like, where Charlie's mom has cancer and Dennis just doesn't feel anything? You know, he's just like, oh. Like, that's kind of how I feel when it comes to, like, religion. I try to find these miracles. But I am, like, I guess I'm more of a typical American or typical, like, I enjoy Christmas. Like, I love the feeling of the season. I love, you know, when it's cold out and everyone gets together, and I like giving presents, and I like Christmas movies, and I like Christmas songs for the most part, and that whole feeling that goes along with it. But the religious part just not grabbing me.
Well, I mean, anytime I've been to like a church, I appreciate stuff like the architecture, you know, the look, the vibe in the room,
the snacks.
Yeah, I guess you get a little wine and a piece of bread in that scenario. I get into what's going there. I'm probably never going to be like a full-on religious person. I've always pretty much felt a spiritual kind of thing, or agnostic,
right,
where I'll at least admit, and all, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen next.
Right.
But I'm not going to put all my money on 24, if you know what I mean.
Right.
I'm not going to put it all into one religion or belief or stuff like that.
So you're, you know, if we were playing roulette, you would put, like, you'd be one of those guys that puts the chip on the middle of, like, the four numbers, like a whole bunch of them?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's what I do. I spread mine out. I get my NASCAR drivers, I put a couple on them, then I get in the middle parts and something like that. And then it hits double zero. I'm like, oh, well, going to hell.
So you got like 1 foot in Muslim, 1 foot in Buddhist, 1 foot in Presbyterian, 1 foot. Yeah. And whatever, you know, whatever trend you see going, you got like, oh, man, like at least I got a foot in there. And then you really press high on that.
Yeah, these last 10 rolls have all been Muslim, so clearly Christianity is going to come up on this next roulette wheel.
There's a little light, like, you know, it shows you the last couple rolls as a Christianity. Yeah. Christianity. Next one's got to be Buddhist.
You got to.
That's the most asinine thing, too, right? Because it's pretty, it's like whatever it is, like 48, and then like whatever it is, the two greens, the zero and the double zero, but I swear to God, that thing is just a sway bet. It shows red. It's six reds in a row. It's got to be black, even though it's basically a 50-50 shot every time, minus the two green spots.
Well, I mean, that's why there's the two green spots, and that's the way the house still has the advantage. Everybody sits back and goes 50-50 shot, where they don't know. You still have less probability on each roll, so.
Yeah. I remember going to church on Christmas Eve, and we were pretty, like, you know, we were around the church or whatever, because we, like I said, we did CCD and just some stuff. Like, we were never, like, a church family. I think my mom would have lied. Even she definitely, like, as years have gone on, has definitely lightened her load, if you will. I mean, the Catholic Church is not doing a very good job of keeping people, I'll tell you that. Yeah, the Catholic Church is like the New York Giants. Like, they just keep, you know, just keep putting the same stuff out there and not getting any results. But,
well, the Pope is kind of, you know, a little bit doing better. And I mean, this recent one, I mean, more people got into it. He hasn't done anything recently.
He's your Pope?
You know,
he's your top.
Yeah, well, I mean,
your top papal pick?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I like him and all, but I mean, he's kind of like the Jim Fossil. It's like, yeah, when you came out, you look kind of hot, but you kind of just slowed down. Now you're just holding back on what you did when you started. You know?
Kind of like Jim Fossil. Once he's done, he's not going to get a job anywhere. Like,
Which is
always the weirdest thing about Jim Fossil. But
it's just in, the Pope got picked up by Muslims. Amazing.
Right.
I can't believe it. They're going in a new direction.
Yeah, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, even like I remember, like, there was this one priest. I think he's still there, because sometimes we on Christmas Eve we will go with my mom to church or whatever, and he's still there. And he always brought, like, his dog. They had a dog at the church. He always brought the dog out with, like, reindeer horn or, like, whatever it was at the end. And it'd always be like after, you know, a good hour, 10 minutes of mass, and then the stupid dog would come out. Now, listen, you know as well as I do that I love a dog just as much as anybody does. But the dog would come out from the mass, and everybody would have to, like, pretend they were so shocked that he brought the dog out in the church with the little freaking antlers on and the line. And the, oh, we'd have to, like, stay for another 10. I remember, like, looking at my mom, like, can we get out of here and go to my Aunt Kathy's house? You know? But
I would just be poking in every 5 minutes. Is the dog out? All right, I'll be back.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the dog here? All right.
I just remember, like, again, they'd be singing, there'd be like a moment where, like, they have all these Christmas trees up on and they dim the lights, and I would be like, oh, and, you know, this is nice, and like Silent Night would be playing. I'm like, this is nice, but again, it never knocked anything to the point where I'm like, oh, okay, I gotta come back next Sunday. I said, yeah, maybe next year. maybe one more time next year we'll give it another swing.
But, all right, I'll give you one more chance at a miracle, but that's it. All right? If I show up and I'm not like, oh, my God, I'm going to say goodbye to God. But I don't say, oh, my God, I don't have a God.
Babe, you can't wave over here.
What did you just give that face for? I said you could see Berlo.
I think she misinterpreted.
She declined.
She declined to see you.
She's like, I know what he looks like. Never mind.
So, yeah. So I don't know. It just doesn't. It's just not grabbing me. Just got, if you like, I don't know. If you were the Catholic Church, how like what kind of things would, or whatever church, even Presbyterian, whatever. What kind of things you think would get? Because obviously, there's a huge problem grabbing young people and keeping people. What kind of things you think would get people in? Wi-Fi?
There's always the Wi-Fi. I mean, I guess an app that will count as going to church.
You know. Get points.
Yeah. An Instagram where you're checking in, you know?
Right. I think maybe shortening it half hour, 15 minutes, like make me. I think the whole thing, you just got to drop the. Ceremony rigidity,
the pretentious,
exactly. Make it more of like bring in an inspirational speaker each week, you know, bring on Paul Templer one week, you know, I'm a hippo attack survivor and this is how I survived, and I find more value in talking to people and hearing their stories and you know, than just hearing some guy read a passage from a book. What is the actual point of going if he's just going to read me stuff that's already written?
Well, I mean, that's the biggest problem of religion. It's relying on books that are thousands upon thousands of years old that have been translated from hundreds of different languages where the point is lost in some way. And that is just like a guessing game on what's right and what's wrong. And so, then you have the guessing game of how strict you are with the rules. Do I go everything by the book or I go, yeah, that's what it says, but things have changed.
Piggybacking off my, if you ever think there's another Christmas Carol, do you ever think there will be another book or thing that people will follow like this for 2,000, 3,000 years by the letter of the law? Like, do you ever think someone will put out a website or a podcast or a biography or something that they just follow and it creates such an impact?
It's kind of the same thing where I go, I guess the latest one you can go is L. Ron Hubbard.
Right.
With Scientology. Which...
Or the Joe Rogan Experience. Oprah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you come up with any stupid idea, someone's going to listen to you and be like, yeah, I can go around that. So, yeah. I mean, it's bound to happen. The like amount of how much it is, who knows? I mean, there was a religion based off of God is a flying spaghetti monster, and like people just joined it out of funniness,
yeah.
And it actually has grown and all. Cthulhu, that's grown in some way, and all the mystical like octopus beast that's going to devour everything that people go like, yeah, the happy Cthulhu day.
Oh, I thought that was the kind of dog you had, a Cthulhu.
A Cthulhu? No. Oh. No, I just got the cat down here.
Oh, cat.
That is not a, that's not a, that's not a Cthulhu.
Yeah, I think the only way something ever takes grips on people, like the Quran, Bible, it would have to be something devastating would have to happen to the Earth, where like a big EMP sucks the internet away and electricity away and makes us start all over again from society, and then people are able to write a new book and a new religion and a new thing to follow. I just don't see it with phones and the internet and the ability to look at a million different things. When there was only one or two things to look at, yeah. So I think we would have to restart as a civilization if there's ever going to be another book like that or something followed that deeply for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Thousands. Religion's like television. Once we had more options, it was over. Cable screwed religion.
Cable screwed the religion.
Religious God.
today was kind of interesting because I'm coming from a 4 o'clock gig.
On a Thursday, as a side note to everybody, this is during the week.
Yeah, I hate to break down the fourth wall of comedy, guys, but I never really had too many 4 o'clock gigs. Usually 4 o'clock is not the epicenter of comedy.
Yeah, I don't see many people saying, yo, boss, I got to cut out a little bit early. I got my afternoon comedy show coming up. Yeah. You know how I need my afternoon giggles, you know?
Boss, I got to leave early. I'm headlining the 3:30 show.
Come on, boss. It's boss.
But I got to say, it was cool. It was a Jersey City teachers group had a comedy show after work for like a fundraiser for like kids in need in Jersey City. So it was good. It's good. They were and it was so rainy and dark out that like it kind of felt like nighttime. So because that's all it does here in Jersey, bro. It rains.
Listen, I'm running a little late. Bump me to the 5 p.m. slot, okay?
But it was cool. Like it was so funny. I walked into the gig and there's. I'm like, yeah, you never know. Like, you know, I'm clean to begin with. Like, I would say of my act is probably 75% squeaky clean, 25% like, you know, we're adults.
PG-13,
we're adults
that's the
here.
Best way to
exactly.
describe, yeah.
I am not remotely a gross out comedian. Maybe when I first started, I had a couple jokes that were, you know.
I remember that first gig that you recorded. I remember the discussion we had. When we reviewed it.
Oh, God, yeah. That doesn't even count. I actually listened to that the other day, and I couldn't get through it. I got the chills so bad, like the douche chills so bad that I had to stop halfway through. Because I was going through old files on my computer. I'm like, oh, my first comedy set from whatever it was, college. And I'm like, halfway through, I'm like, I can't do it. Like, I had to stop. So brutal. But it's a good reminder, you know.
Yeah,
but I knew it was
where you came from.
You never know like how clean it'd be, and I walk in, and it was great. It's this old black couple, like one guy, and he's like in a pimp hat, like a red full velour suit, like a Christmas suit, but it's completely red with a red tie and red gaiters, like the shoes. And he's with Dan. They must have been 65 years old, 70 years old, and he's like dancing with his woman, like, and she was in a complete like red suit. I'm like, all right, they're gonna be fun. And, like, they were like dancing and like grinding. Like, I'm like, okay, how? And then I opened up with like, hey, you know, like, I'm making fun of the room a little bit. Oh, you got a great Christmas crown. I'm like, I mean, guys, we even have Reggie the Christmas pimp here.
It
was good.
That's the way I want to retire. No, I want to be 65 years old in a pimp outfit going to a comedy show Thursday at 4 p.m.
That's
the Burlew's dream.
You know what, bro? I think those dreams are achievable. Between that and the retirement home comedy tour that you're going to do. You got this, buddy. You got this.
Spicy wine right around the corner.
What do you got?
Well, you know, we've been talking a lot about Christmas, but as we've talked about before, I mean, we're about all the groups. We're about all the celebrations, whether it's religious, non-denomination here, and we know everything about it. Right, Scott?
Are we?
Yes, we are,
Scott.
Oh,
yeah, we are. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
I mean, that's why we're about to do this, because you're going to prove to everybody how much you know. I have 17 true or false statements, and you have to figure out which ones are real and which ones are not from me, Scott, about the different holidays around this time of year.
Well, you know that, like, sometimes I like to answer questions false on purpose just so people can learn a little bit. So, all right, yeah, hit me with it.
So 17 falses in a row? Okay.
All right, go ahead. Here we go.
All right. On Kwanzaa, a yam called the Vibhuzi is meant to represent fertility. True or false?
I'm going to go with true on that one. I feel like I might have read that somewhere.
False. It is the Vibhuzi, but that's an ear of corn.
Oh, well.
That's an ear of corn.
All right. All right. That's tough. That's tough. Ham, yep. Yam, corn.
Mm-hmm. Eh. Kwanzaa lasts 7 days, ending in Kwanzaa Kurumu, the big feast.
Well, I mean, I feel like you didn't edit that one at all because it was hard to pronounce, so I'm going to go with true.
It's false. That is the feast, but that's on the sixth day. The seventh day is the gift-giving on the final night.
I knew it was 7 days. That's one thing I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. The colors of Kwanzaa Let me finish. Are green, symbolizing fertile land, red, symbolizing bloodshed, and black, symbolizing the people.
Black, symbolizing the people. True.
It is true.
All right, all right. One for three. Back on the board.
All right.
Or on the board.
Cucumba Che Umaja is a unique cup to drink
Black
out
Panther.
Of to honor.
He was the best character in Black Panther.
Yeah, yeah.
Cucumba.
Cucumba Cha Umaja.
Oh, that's the guy who takes over for T'Challa after he dies.
Well, yeah, when Thanos does that snap, he comes walking in. What happened?
Yeah, I can't wait till they gotta explain. They make sure Black Panther comes back in the next movie. They're gonna be like, he's back. He's plenty back. He's like three movies back.
Why is he the last one to come back? Wait a minute,
guys. He's at least three more movies back. We'll go backstory. We'll go because that is a cash cow waiting to happen. So, all right, go ahead. Read it again. T'Challa.
Cucumba Cha Umaja is a unique cup to drink out of to honor ancestors on Kwanzaa.
You know, the way you pronounce that, I can't believe that she was calling you the sultry voice.
Yeah, I am. I did tag her on when I shared out the podcast.
Did
thing,
you?
So I hope to hear back from her.
All right, well, maybe in the new year we'll be able to tell people what happened. I'm going to go with false on that one.
That is true, Scott.
Yes.
Sorry.
True. Oh. Damn, one for Sorry. Four.
Yep.
All right. I got a lot of room.
Keep going. Just to give you a heads up, I gave Izzy the same quiz. You went 5 for 17.
Okay. So she's racist, too. I mean, no.
All right. Ramadan, observed by Muslims worldwide as a month of fasting to commemorate the first revelation of the Quran to Muhammad, begins every January or February.
That is true.
It's false. It rotates, and it starts on May 6th in 2019.
Wow, it starts that late?
Yeah, they go by the Muslim calendar, so it will be, in January. It just keeps on bumping up, if you will.
Son of a bitch. Okay.
All right. Hanukkah begins on the 25th day of the Jewish month of Shavuot.
False.
You are correct. It's the 25th day of Kislev.
Oh, right. Kislev. Yeah. He was a great character in
The Avengers again?
Yeah. Got it. Yep.
Yep. Originally, Jewish tradition was to eat cheese pancakes on Hanukkah.
Oh, man. Cheese pancakes sound good. Latkes, I know. True.
It is true.
All right. Yes.
There you go.
Oof.
3 for 7.
All right. I am hitting. I mean, in baseball, I'm hitting well.
There is technically 12 correct ways to spell Hanukkah.
I believe that, but I feel like you might like do a little trickeration on this, and there'll be like 11 or something like that. So I'm going to go false.
It is false. There are technically 16 translations.
Yes,
from
I knew. I knew you were playing with my brain.
You know that's what I love to do, Scott. Burlew mind games.
All right, go.
Winter solstice celebrates the birth of the moon.
No, false.
You are correct. It's the rebirth of the sun.
Yes, solstice, because solstice means sun. I know
that. Good for you. Thousands of pagans and druids go to the ancient ruins of Stonehenge to dance and sing until the sun rises or winter solstice.
I'm going to go with false on that. I can't see them. One, I can't see them people letting them near Stonehenge, like, to do all their weird dancing. And two, I feel like they might do that, but not at Stonehenge.
I'm afraid that's true, Scotty. That is true.
All right. I'd like to go to that. Like,
that does sound like fun.
You know, like, my religion would be... I don't want to get you sidetracked, but my religion, I think, would be cool. Is like, okay, say I go to Christmas Eve Mass every year. Instead, let's take that same hour, 10 minutes, whatever it is, and I want to experience different things. Like, okay, I want to see a pagan Christmas ceremony for that hour. Next year, I want to see a Ramadan ceremony. Next, I want to see a Diwali ceremony. So, see, that would be cool.
Yeah,
that would be
a multicultural,
thing. I'm sure a lot of the stuff focuses on being thankful and thankful for family and good and positive messages. So I would love to see like everything. That would be my thing, a Christmas world tour, even though it's not Christmas.
So you want the potluck of religion is what you're basically
talking about. I want all the potluck religions on my religious day, though.
You want a buffet style. No? You want a little Christianity, some Muslim,
right.
A little bit of pagan on there, you know, a little spiciness to it.
But on my holidays day, though. Like, I don't.
Oh,
I'm not dealing with their days.
It's like, listen, it's all well and cool what you're doing, but, you know, football's this Sunday.
December 24th. Come on. Come on.
All right.
You guys got nothing else going on. Let's go.
All right. Los Santos is a 9-day celebration to commemorate Mary's pregnancy.
Mary's pregnancy. Los Santos. I'm going to go with false.
It's false. It's actually Las Posadas, or the Inns.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew that. That's why I said false.
Well, luckily, I have more Las Posadas questions.
What am I at? Do you know?
Let me think. You're at 6 right now. 6 of 11.
Ooh, above 500.
Yeah, you're doing pretty good here.
I am like the Redskins till like week 10 or 11, where it always falls apart.
We're still at 500. Don't be messing with. Now, granted, when this comes out, probably not, but still.
You know how it is. They give you that promise, like, yeah, we're going to do it. And then it's always like, we're right in the middle.
We're the reverse religion. The more faith you put into it, that's when it turns on you.
Yeah, the Redskins have a little Mets to them. Like, well, this is our year. We're going to do it. We're not going to really spend that much money, or we're going to spend money on the wrong things, and we're going to coast around average forever.
Yeah. And we're going to make sure we're going to dangle near the playoffs just to get your hopes up.
That's what I mean.
Just be like, ha ha.
Yeah, Redskins are very infamous for that. Like, being right there. Like, when the NFC East is, like, not that great. Like, oh, yeah, like, they're playing good. And then just kind of, like, falling apart.
Yeah, never mind. Never mind. All right. Every night of Las Posadas is celebrated with gifts, piñatas, tamales, and parties.
I mean, when I celebrate Jorge Posada, I love to have gifts and parties, but I'm going to go with false.
I'm afraid that's true.
But that could be every holiday.
This is pretty damn cool, because that's 9 nights of piñatas and tamales.
I mean, that sounds like, see, there's a holiday I would love to experience. Let's do it.
Go.
Jorge Posada is a great holiday.
Wisconsin is the one state that celebrates Las Posadas inside rather than out.
One, I can't believe anybody in Wisconsin celebrates Jorge Posada. I feel like he's a very, I mean, going
nobody out, from the Brewers is saying he could come here.
I'm going out on a limb to say that Wisconsin's a very Christmas heavy state. So I'm it's very cold, and our Spanish friends don't generally like the cold. So I'm going to go with true.
It is true, Scott.
Yes! Pretty good reasoning there, if you ask me.
Yeah. The fifth day of Diwali involves a sister feeding her brother.
If this is true, I'd like to know why. But true.
It is true.
Yes.
It's called Bye Douche Diwali.
Oh, bye-bye douchebag. Got it. Feed your brother poison if you don't like him on the fifth day of Diwali.
Yeah, Indians are very rough. There's over a billion summit there. You know, they got to get those numbers down.
Well, I heard that it's true that if you have like a beef with your brother, you know, in India, and you know, there's only one day of the year you're allowed to try to kill him, and that's through food on the fifth day of Diwali. You're allowed to feed him.
Yep.
And if he falls for it, everyone's like, oh, Jutinder, he fell for the old fifth day of Diwali poison Jolly Rancher.
That's why we lose so many listeners in India. That fifth day of Diwali, he's like, damn it!
Dude, can you believe Amir ate the samosa from his sister? What an idiot.
Don't eat the yellow snow or your sister's food.
Yeah,
that's what I go by.
All right.
30% of all burn injuries occurs during the Diwali fireworks celebration in India.
I know false on that one.
It's false because it's 65% of all firework or burn injuries occur during the holiday.
Jeez. Little out of control. Well, I mean, with all your brothers dying and stuff, whatever, you know.
Yeah,
set some fireworks off. This is how they try to cover up the murders.
The second day of Diwali in India is the equivalent of Black Friday in the U.S.
False.
It's true.
Oof.
It's one of the most major popular shopping days in India.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
And finally, Scott, 2019 Chinese New Year will be the year of the dog. True or false?
Mm-mm. I know the rat was recently. True.
Sorry, Scott. False. This is the year of the dog. Next year is the year of the pig.
Oh.
But I think you ended up with 8 out of 17, if I did the numbers correctly.
8 out of 9.
8 out of 17. Above.
I might make the playoffs at something like 8 and 17.
Yeah.
8. No. All right. Come on, Brendan. Come on, Brain. At something at... 8, so I got 8 out of 17?
Oh, you got 9 out of 17.
Oh, 9 out of 17. Okay, yeah.
So 9 and 8.
9 and
so
8,
so you got the wild card spot.
Yeah. One game playoff against some other person that doesn't know much about holidays. I get it. But, yeah, all right, I'll take that.
Yeah, you're going to have a tough road schedule, but you have a possibility.
Yeah, that's where the Giants thrive. So, like, you know, when their backs are against the wall, whenever they do anything good between 7 years of terrible football. Sorry, there's a little bitterness to the Giants season. Getting a little frustrated with it. All right, before we go, we know that Santa is – he's the guy, you know. He's the guy. He doesn't leave much room for anyone else, like, as far as being the guy. But did you know, and I know in the past we have covered different Christmas traditions before a couple times because there always seems to be more that we find out. But did you know that there are 13 creepy Santa alternatives from other countries?
Now,
one of them is Krampus. We know that. Okay.
Yeah.
But there's a couple more that I don't think we ever talked about. And I'm always like, this time of year, I'm always kind of fascinated by finding out other holidays, traditions, and whatnot. So let's just dive real quick into this before we, before we get out of here.
All right.
The Yule Lads, Berlo, the Yule Lads. Based on the culture of Iceland, there are 13 miscreants that take the place of Santa. Some play tricks while others steal things from your home. Others actually do give gifts. The Yuletide cat is said to eat bad children. Why naughty ones get potatoes as gifts?
Well, that doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah,
potatoes as gifts. It's better than coal.
I mean, I can make a nice
Yeah, I can make a nice baked potato for Christmas. And all. It's like, I was a bad guy, but, you know, I'm eating.
I freaking love potatoes, man. Like, I mean, I know that's going right with the stereotype, but I love a good potato. And, Berlo, you like the Yuletide cat, maybe you could just keep him, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, get a two-for-one deal.
I mean, who really likes bad children anyway? Not me.
I mean, especially nowadays where the parents can't do anything. We got too many of them now.
Right, so the Yuletide cat is basically doing us a favor.
Good for him.
Berlo, you're a big fan of Tomty.
What?
Tomty.
I guess I am.
You know, this one has its roots coming from certain places in Scandinavia, such as Norway, Finland, and Sweden. There are gnome-like creatures that were kind, except they had a short fuse. However, they were said to be kind to those who help around the farm.
So literally, just because there's no farmland for 100 miles, I'm going to be considered bad?
Maybe, unless you help. You know, like...
I don't want to drive an hour just to help a farmer.
Well, the Tomty are coming for you.
I mean, if I buy, like, local produce, does that count?
No, just because you're, like, environmentally conscious, I don't think you get away from the Tomty. You know Bellsnickel, right?
Bellsnickel, yeah, that's the new Snickers bar, right?
Right, the one shaped like a bell.
Yeah, I get them every Christmas in my stocking. I love those things.
The origin of the Bellsnickel comes from Germany, Austria, Argentina, and the United States, which I find interesting. That's a weird four, right? Germany, Austria, you're like, okay. Then Argentina? Someone should do a 23andMe genetic test here because they went to Argentina and really brought some weird traditions. But this basically means... your mean caveman version of Santa. Although he's meaner and more aggressive than Saint Nick, he does give gifts to children who behave well. So he's like a caveman version of Santa.
So he's the Flintstones Christmas special.
Exactly. Pire Noël et le Pire Futard.
Oh, of course.
That's obviously how you pronounce them, too. Originating from France, this character resembles Santa Claus, but instead of riding reindeer, he rides a donkey. He is said to place small gifts and candles in shoes left near the fireplace. He usually is celebrated on the 5th of December, so we missed him.
Yeah, he sounds like the stocking stuff for Santa. You know, all the throwaway stuff. He gives you that stuff and the underwear and socks you hate to get.
This is how much we've been indoctrinated into this, to believe in it. That when I was like, instead of reindeer, he rides a donkey, I laughed like, that's ridiculous. But
no, I mean, a reindeer, I can totally see that thing getting up in the air, but...
What? 8 reindeer, one with a shiny nose that gets them through the light, that flies around house to house. That's believable, but...
Yeah, and then when they're done, they play reindeer games. There's no such thing as donkey games.
That's how stupid we are. Like, that's how we've been blasted for so many years. Like, a donkey? Mm-hmm. What about La Befana? She's popular in Italy. This character has the appearance of a witch. Rumor has it that she hates being seen and will whack children over the head that spy on her. She does, however, give good gifts to children.
that is the most awesome thing. I mean, do they bring the kids to the mall and just some old lady just starts whacking them in the head?
Get away! Sounds very similar to my Aunt Cheryl, you know?
I mean, she's smart. She doesn't want to see the kids. She just wants to send them presents and all. It's like, yeah, whatever. Love, Grandma.
And then, of course, we got Krampus, probably the one we've heard of on this list, popular in Germany, Hungary, Austria. The version of Santa is very creepy. Krampus is said to be bloodthirsty, terrifying monster. As you can imagine, the nasty creature gave no gifts whatsoever. The church banned him and his influence in the 1800s. I know there was a Krampus horror movie that came out last year.
That was a pretty good movie, you know. So, Scott, I mean, going back to what we talked about earlier... if, like, you're in the middle of church and all of a sudden Krampus just crashes into the building and starts beating up the priest for throwing him out.
I'm believing.
Would that be the miracle?
I'm believing. Quick, quick, I'm looking at that crucifix, lighting candles, saying the Lord's Prayer. I see a demon come through. See, that's fine. That's miracle enough to scare me the other way.
Yeah, it sounds like wrestling, you know. He just crashes through the building. It's so cold! It's so cold, Krampus! It's so cold!
Yeah, like, you always want to, like, maybe have a little prayer just in case, like, this apocalypse does come and the reckoning comes. You're like, well, like, you know, I had a little.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I was.
It's the side money, kind of like I talked about earlier. No, that's where you. You know, I don't usually put a number on four, but I'm going to put one here just in case.
Right.
You know?
What about Dead Morose and the Snow Maiden, which sounds like one of Chris Barron's early bands?
Did they team up with Kool-Aid Man?
The Dead Morose and the Snow Maiden are popular in the majority of Eastern Europe. Dead Morose is said to be a former evil sorcerer that turned good. He arrives at New Year's to hand out gifts to make up for his evil past. The Snow Maiden is simply his companion.
Hmm. So he did a face turn. Gotcha.
Yeah.
He was Hollywood Hulk Hogan, but now he's the regular Hulkster now. So.
Right. Zwarte P.A. Zwarte is said to be the evil sidekick of Sinterklaas. Although he is evil, he will give gifts to good children. Be warned, though, bad children are said to be abducted and sent to Spain as a punishment. His English name is Black Peter. And has come under heat recently. Many are condemning the character as one of blackface. Ooh, that's a no-no. You can't do blackface.
Well, I'm not surprised if it came from Europe. I mean, they kind of dive down into that not-so-PC stuff.
Well, Zwarte P.A., you know, he's friends with Black Peter. He's
I'm just not into the side characters. I don't want to hear about Santa Claus's Robin, okay?
Ah, gotcha.
I don't really care about the main characters.
What about Schmutzli? He's also a sidekick of Santa.
Ah.
He's said to carry a broom and beat kids who misbehave. Very violent. See, Santa used to be a lot more intimidating. Like, he had all these henchmen that beat the shit out of you. He dressed in black clothing similar to the Grim Reaper. The French call him the Whipping Father. So when you beat your kids, just be like, "I'm Schmutzli." It's not dad. It's Schmutzli.
That's what Adrian Peterson said to his kid that one time.
What about Blue?
Give me a switch and let me Schmutzli you.
What about Blue Santa? Although his origins are not well known, Blue Santa was said to have came from German immigrants in the 1800s. Some say he's an older version of the modern Santa. The Blue Santa remains a mystery, Mike.
Oh, he's the OG. Gotcha. All right.
We got
the new Coke of Santa's. Great.
And we have one more. We got Christkind. Christkind. You know, Christkind comes from cultures of Germany, Austria, Italy, and Brazil. The word Christkind literally means the Christ child. This one is very popular in Protestant religions, as it was begun by Martin Luther. Although the figure is meant to be an infant savior, so a baby savior, it is often depicted by a blonde woman in gold with wings.
Ooh. Yeah, we got some movement on that. I could dig into that.
Yeah. Like, if she looked like Shakira and, like, dropped presents off, I'm in.
Oh, yeah. I'll sit on Shakira's lap. She's fine. I like that.
Yeah. Like, maybe this is what we need. We just need some modern... Like, if I, at some point in my life, saw Black Peter dropping off gifts in my living room, maybe I'd be a little bit more religious. Or maybe I forget her name, beats the hell out of me for being a bad kid. I would be a lot more religious, I think.
That'd be great, you know? You're like, I'm going to your aunt's house, you walk out the church and just some woman beats the living crap out of you. It's like, all right, I'll see God.
All right, I'll be better. Exactly. Either consequence or reward. Like, there's got to be something, not this in the middle stuff that I've been experiencing for my whole life.
Maybe that's what it is and all. I mean, maybe the fear of going to hell is not enough because some people are like, there is no hell or that's so far away. Maybe if somebody in this life just beats the living crap out of you. For whatever reason, you don't follow the church, then more people get into religion.
I think you just solved it. I think we solved it there. Like, just...
I knew I would sell the whole religion thing one of these days. I had a feeling.
Well, guys, I think we've come to the end of our Christmas fable here. Hopefully you learned a lot. You learned a lot about reindeer today. You learned a lot about religion. You learned a lot about Schmutzli. And you learned a lot about a bunch of holidays. But whatever holiday you celebrate, Merry Holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, yeah. Whatever it is from the Verbal Shenanigans Show. We are very thankful to be doing this for 4 years or whatever the hell it is, 5 years. A lot of great guests. Another great year. Next week, we'll dive into the year a little bit more. But thank you, guys. Thank you for listening. Berlew, anything to promote before we get out of here?
Well, I will promote another podcast that's coming in January called The Final Note Live with Alex Vincent. As you may know, Alex played Andy Barkley in four of the Child's Play movies and was a former guest on her show. He'll be doing a podcast chatting with some of his friends on music and acting. He currently has a YouTube channel promoting what is coming up, so subscribe to his channel that is named The Final Note Live with Alex Vincent and let him know if Verbal Shenanigans sent you there.
That's it. That's it. Because that's all that really matters. No, go check that out for sure. And I will promote real quick one comedy date for any people who are down in Clark on January 4th, Friday. I am hosting at Molly Maguire's. Never performed there before, but I know a lot of the old hometown people might be around. So go check that out. I believe I am with... I don't remember who I'm with, but I'm going to be there. I know Candace Eisenberg is there. I just can't remember who the headliner is. Tracy Locke, maybe? I'm not sure. Anyway, so I am there, and I want to promote us, guys. If you dug what you hear tonight, or any other episodes, it's very important for us for you to go leave us a review. I mean, it really helps on iTunes. It helps populate the podcast. It helps other people see the ratings of the podcast, and it helps us give a listen.
And on a side note, iTunes cleared out some reviews, so we can always use the extra help. Thanks to them.
Exactly. So go do that, guys. Also, please listen. Please like us on Facebook and Instagram. Try to post a bunch of stuff there. If anybody wants Verbal Shenanigans shirts, please just contact me. And I guess that's it, guys. Merry Christmas. It's always fun doing these
episodes. And the rest.
Yeah, it's always fun doing these episodes. And as the year closes, we hope to bring to you another wonderful year of podcasts and keep this thing rolling here. Berlew, going into next week, if I am correct, next week's guest will be the 72nd guest of the year.
Wow. Look at that.
Yeah. So between last year and this year, that is over 150 guests. So pretty awesome, guys. Pretty awesome. And probably total close to like 250, yeah. Something like that. But
yeah. And 75% of them were cool.
Yeah. Guys, life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye. Hit it,
later, people.
Hit it, happy little holidays. John.
Kool-Aid Man, you ready for Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.